J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, October 12th, 2022, 27 days until whatever it is that's going to happen with these midterms. Got a chance of severe weather in St. Louis today, particularly late morning, early afternoon, and then again maybe later in the day. But this thing that's going to be going through probably before lunchtime is definitely something that could get your attention. And then if you are looking forward to fall, you're going to get it next week. Highs in the low 50s, overnight lows in the mid to upper 30s. And that's going to be starting next week. Well, it's just as well, since we're not playing baseball anymore, it might as well get cold. Harrison Bader with a big home run for the Yankees last night. And lots of stuff going on in the city of St. Louis. What is going on here, folks? The new Top Golf over near SLU is expected to be up and running in 2024. We were just talking about Tower T yesterday. I like that. Top Golf. I've never been to that Top Golf place out on 40, but it looks like there's too much going on at that place. I like the Tower T, the way they redid Tower T. That's more my style. But, you know, you may feel differently about it. The new Costco is going to be opening in, what is it, 2 weeks? October 25th over at 170 and Olive. I don't know how they're going to handle all of the traffic in that area, especially for people who are trying to get there on Olive. Olive is just nuts. You know, and I used to live right over there because I lived in Olivet for a while. And then I lived out in Chesterfield, but I was still right on Olive. And, you know, anywhere on Olive from 270 over to 170, there's certain times of the day that I just stopped going over in that direction because it's too crazy. And, of course, for the last, 20, 30 years now, we've had all that development on the other side of 170, all those Chinese restaurants and that chicken place, which escapes me right now. But, you know, you got all that stuff. I just don't know how they're going to manage all of that. And in addition to the Costco, which is, you know, opens in 2 weeks, you know, they're going to have this big development there with condos and entertainment district and restaurants and all that sort of stuff. I just don't think they have the infrastructure to handle that. But let's see how they do it. Let's see how they do it. And the Wienermobile is in town. Well, it'll be in town tomorrow. One of the most fun things we ever did. Remember Peter Zezel from your St. Louis Blues and also Mike Lawler, two great St. Louis Blues names. So the Wienermobile is in town one day. This is when we were working at the radio station over at Corporate Square, which is at Lindbergh and Olive, just a little bit north of the Red Cross used to be over there. That's where we had Michael J. Fox doing gurney races for Doc Hollywood, but I digress. So it just happened to be the Wienermobile came to St. Louis and came to our parking lot at the radio station the same day that we had Zezel and Lawler in the studio to talk about the Blues and stuff like that. And we talked to the Wienermobile people into letting Peter Zezel take the wheel, and we took our wireless mics out there.
All right, how many other radio stations in St. Louis can say, we're live from the Wiener Wagon? All right. Who are the Wiener Wagon people? Susan, are you one of them?
I sure am.
And Susan, where do you come from?
We come from Dallas.
And you drove, I'm just picturing the Wiener Wagon like, coming up I-55 or something. You pretty much just drive this thing around the country, huh?
We sure do. Southwest.
So there's regional Wiener Wagons?
There sure are. There's five regions.
So there's somebody just like you driving around like in Florida or something, right?
Yep.
Now the question obviously becomes, how does one arrange for a job driving the Wiener Wagon around the southwestern portion of the United States of America?
Well, you apply to the headquarters in Madison to be a hot
Hello,
runner.
Wiener Wagon headquarters? Do you have any applications today?
And you major in Wienerology, of course.
Wienerology.
Yeah, we knew some girls in college, as a matter of fact. Let's let Zezel get over here, because Zezel and Lawler from the Blues are here. What's your name?
Susan.
Susan, and you're here because?
I'm on my way to work, and I thought I'd stop by because I haven't seen a big weenie for a long time.
Peter, Blues locker room, you think we can arrange something? You've never seen the Wiener Wagon even when you were little?
Never. Yeah. This is something.
Yeah, Mike, did the Wiener Wagon come to Canada when you were growing up and you were a little kid?
No regional drivers in Fort Erie, Ontario.
I got a defective wiener here. Yeah, Zezel, this has got to be, out of all the promotional things that the St. Louis Blues and all the other professional athletes in St. Louis get asked to do from time to time, this one's got to rank right up there somewhere.
Definitely. It ranks probably the number one right now. I want to know if Susan wants to ride on the weenie.
you can go back to practice today and say to Hully, yeah, you got 45 goals, but you weren't in the damn wiener wagon like I was. You go give him a hard time. All right, before we actually pull away, Susan, our TWA flight attendant, has something she'd like to add here.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of KSD and your entire crew, we'd like to welcome you aboard the Oscar Mayer Big Weenie. In command of our ride this morning is Captain Mike, assisted by First Officer Pete. We invite you all now to please sit back, relax, enjoy the ride.
Thank you, girl.
Yeah. Peter Zezel leading the way here. All right, let us know. Describe the ride here now. It's kind of a feel.
Well, it's a... The buns are a little bit in the way of it.
We're going to go over to McDonnell Douglas and Monsanto over here.
Hey, look out! Look out for the big weenie!
Yeah, that's right.
Steve Martin used to have this line in his act where he go, and the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this. And that's what made me think. See, that's when radio was fun. You could do stuff like that. Now, try to do anything like that, 10 people in your way saying, no, you can't do that. Speaking of Peter Zezel and Michael Lawler, and Zezel got some sort of weird blood disease or something, and passed away years ago. It was really a shame. He was, you know, barely, I think he was only in his 40s. He was a nice guy. He was dating one of our salespeople at the radio station for quite a while. But he was a good guy. And Lawler was just funny. He was having the time of his life. Oh, man, can't have fun like that anymore. Boy, oh, boy, bunch of lawyers going, well, what happens if you guys crash the wiener wagon and that flight attendant goes flying through the windshield? What are you going to do now? See, you can't do stuff like that. Shut up. Blues home opener is Saturday night. Yesterday, I sort of, in an obligatory fashion, put up the passing of Murder, She Wrote star Angela Lansbury. I didn't think it was that big a deal. Apparently, it is. Apparently, a lot of people liked her. I didn't think it was quite... Well, I mean, I almost didn't even post it. But I'm glad I did, because it turns out she meant a lot to a lot of people. Bill Murray. This is a complicated guy. Bill Murray is one of those guys, when he gets into one of these moods, he's the type of guy that will argue with you when you are agreeing with him. He can be very, very difficult. Let's think about this, okay? Harold Ramis wants to make Groundhog Day. He wants Bill Murray in it. Bill Murray says, I don't know. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll do it if you shoot it within an hour of Chicago, where I live, so I can go home every night at the end of shooting. I can sleep in my own bed, and you limo me back and forth from my home in Lake Forest out to Woodstock, Illinois. And that's more than an hour. That's almost like 2 hours. But if you do all that, I'll do the movie. Harold Ramis says, fine, we'll arrange for it. And during the course of shooting, Harold Ramis and Bill Murray, who go back so far, they went back decades. Bill Murray, apparently so difficult to work with in the film, that he and Harold, friends for decades, like I said, ended up in some sort of big fight. And for people who were there, it was like Harold was just trying to do his job and Bill Murray was just being Bill Murray, and the two didn't mix. And so they didn't speak for a long time. In fact, not until Bill Murray found out that Harold was sick, and then he went to go visit him, and, you know, at least they patched things up to whatever extent you can in a situation like that. I mentioned that because we did a story on this yesterday. Turns out Bill Murray paid $100,000 in a settlement to a woman he engaged in appropriate behavior with on a movie set earlier this year. Sources say he straddled her and kissed her face and body while they were both wearing masks. He said he meant it as a joke, but she didn't take it that way. When you're getting straddled, that'll do it every time. Like I said, we're only 27 days away from the midterm, so we got to get away from this idea of hiring celebrities to do jobs that they're not cut out for. What am I talking about? Politics. That woman, the Republican woman who's leading in Arizona, which is one of those big states to watch, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia are going to be the three states to watch coming up in a couple of weeks in the midterms. But anyhow, that candidate out there, that woman is a former news anchor, so she's really, really good, you know, in front of a camera. Obviously, Reagan. Up until a couple of days ago, there was still some talk that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, was going to run for president. Trump obviously had no previous political experience. Ronald Reagan had been sort of flying under the radar with politics for many, many years before he finally decided to run. And people forget, you know, that he lost in the primary a couple of years before he actually ran and then won in 1980. You know, Nixon had been defeated. His famous speech, you don't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore. But then he came back and boom, he was president for two terms. How did that turn out, by the way? I forgot. Anyhow, BuzzFeed polled its fans to determine which celebrities people would like to see as president. I just hate stories like this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Turns out we would like to see Dolly Parton, Tom Hanks, Morgan Freeman in the White House, but not The Rock, not Paul Rudd or Guy Fieri. Well, thanks for clarifying all of that. Last week, Days of Our Lives featured its first threesome. By the way, it was a girl-girl guy, if it matters to you. And longtime viewers are not okay with this. Here are some of the actual responses that the people at Days of Our Lives got after they did a threesome last week. Number one here, let's see. Days of Our Lives is disgusting now. I've watched for over 40 years. I didn't know it could get any more disgusting, but now they have young people having threesomes. No wonder our country is spiraling out of control. Here's the second one. Today's episode was disgusting. Days has gone too far with the Ally, Chanel, Alex storyline. This is obscene. I'm done. Third, well, today's show with the threesome was the last straw. I've been trying to stay with the show because I've watched it since I was a kid, and I'm 59, so a long time, but I'm done. This is just too much, and I don't support their views anymore. It's so sad, but the move to Peacock is going to be the end of the show for long-timers. Makes me mad that they took away this show from us. Bye-bye, Days. I'm confused there because on one hand, she's complaining because it's moving over to a streaming platform, but never mind. Number four, I'm really shocked and disappointed in Days bringing on a threesome. It's an all-time low for me for Days to be so desperate to do this. Where do you draw the line, writers? Which is funny because now I want to say, if it's a boring news day, I think I'm going to go over and watch this. They're doing threesomes over there now. That's why I always say there's no such thing as bad publicity. Every year in late February, one of our news services that I subscribe to releases the comments, the actual comments that the network gets after the Super Bowl halftime show. And the ones after the Shakira, Jennifer Lopez one were absolutely hilarious. Because, you know, if you're a network executive, you're sitting there thinking, all right, we're getting all this competition from cable, and on cable you can do anything. So we're going to have to maybe start taking some more chances here, doing some maybe some more risque stuff because people clearly want it. They're paying for something they can get for free, but they're paying for it because then they can get threesomes. So somebody do something. Then they do it, and then you get this. You get this kind of response. And again, I said, yeah, you're a network executive. Try to figure this out because now Dahmer is the second most watched English language title in Netflix history. So what do you do? Do you say, let's, if you're a network executive, let's put on more shows that have more risque stuff because we're getting our asses kicked by cable? Or do you say the audience for over-the-air TV might be a different kind of person? One of our listeners a long time ago said, you know, here's the thing about polling, for example. Polling. And they did a really, really interesting story on one of the cable channels yesterday talking about how if you see a poll, and this applies to the midterms, presidential election, whatever, and probably even local stuff too, but especially on the national issues, if you see a race, you got a Republican and a Democrat, and it's a dead heat, give it to the Republican. The Republican's going to win because they're finding more and more that conservatives and Republicans simply do not respond to polls anymore. Not everybody, but a lot of them, and enough for it to make a difference. You know, I always say, this poll has a plus or minus 3% variance. Well, look what happened in the presidential election. A couple of presidential elections where it was that it was well within the bounds of the margin of error that decided the outcome. But back to that listener who made the observation about polling, he said, you're going to get a completely different set of responses. If you go ahead and ask somebody a bunch of questions in Clayton and then ask the same questions in Peavely and then go ask the same list of questions in the parking lot in front of Priscilla's, the sex toy place, you're going to get three completely different sets of responses. Now, the people who do the polling are supposed to take all of that into consideration, you know, and get a representative sampling of everybody who's out there. But obviously, they don't always do it well enough. And now there are some people who are just completely discounting polls. You're 10 points behind in some sort of poll for an election. It's like, fuck it, just keep going. And on election night, there they are standing at the podium going, hey, thanks, everybody, we won. This is a little freaky. A lady is flying to Nashville to fulfill her mom's wishes to have her ashes spread over Alan Jackson's house. Alan Jackson, if you don't know, is a country music star. So the lady is flying to Nashville. She's got her mom's ashes in some sort of an urn, and she's going to spread them over Alan Jackson's house. Minor problem. She has not received permission from Alan Jackson to do it. Her mom was a super fan and had a tattoo of him and would even carry his cardboard cutout around the hospital during cancer treatment. Yeah, fame. Fame. It has a downside. Kaylee Cuoco, who every red-blooded American male in this country these days wants to boink, is expecting a baby girl with her husband. Late Night Tonight, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, on with Jimmy Fallon, on with Camila Cabello. She's good. Jimmy Kimmel's got, listen to this, Maren Morris and Jessica Chastain. George Stephanopoulos on with Colbert. Eddie Redmayne is going to be a guest on James Corden. Seth Meyers as Pierce Brosnan. Danny Masterson's sexual assault trial started yesterday. The Sydney Sweeney from Euphoria is one of the most sought-after actresses in Hollywood right now, and she is going to be the star of a remake of the Jane Fonda movie Barbarella, which we were just talking about yesterday. I like this. Cyndi Lauper announced her Girls Just Want to Have Fundamental Rights Foundation to support women's issues like abortion access. Brett Favre, this is getting more and more complicated. I think they've got him with the goods. He says he's innocent and being smeared by the media. They've got the emails. They've got the phone calls recorded. They got the emails where he goes, okay, so we want to do this. Is there any chance the press could find out what we're doing here? Yeah, that's not an admission of guilt. Not at all. Birthdays today, Hugh Jackman, 54. Nice guy, by the way. We had him on the show. Jesus Christ Superstar debuted 51 years ago, 1971, on Broadway. And 43 years ago today, 1979, Fleetwood Mac released Tusk. That was their 12th album. And if you remember the video, which was shot at Dodger Stadium with Stevie Nicks showing off a very, very impressive demonstration with a baton. So we had Lindsey Buckingham on the show a couple of years ago. I asked him about it.
Final two questions, and they're quickies. Tusk, title track, MTV video, Dodger Stadium, the USC marching band. When you marry someone, you think you know all their deepest, darkest secrets. Did you know that Stevie was proficient at twirling a baton?
I did. Yes, I had seen her do that much earlier. But you're right, it wasn't something that came up too often.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that was entertaining. I enjoyed that conversation with Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac, or at least when he was. So now that you're in a cheerful mood, let me bring you back crashing to Earth. This was on CNN yesterday, getting very, very concerned. I couldn't be any more honest and genuine about this. I'm terrified of what's going on with the economy and with my 401k. I don't even want to tell you how much money I lost in this year. And it's not even over yet. So this is Ana Cabrera's midday show on CNN, and the gal who they're going to interview here identifies herself. You may want to pay attention to this for about the next 2 minutes.
It's a dire forecast for the global economy. The worst is yet to come. The UN's major financial agency is predicting a third of the world is facing a recession. That message comes one day after JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon delivered this warning.
Currently, right now, the U.S. economy is actually still doing well. But you can't talk about the economy without talking about the stuff in the future. And this is serious stuff. These are very, very serious things, which I think are likely to push the U.S. And the world. I mean, Europe is already in a recession, and they're likely to put U.S. in some kind of recession 6-9 months from now.
CNN business correspondent Rahel Solomon is with us now. Rahel, let's start with this statement from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. What are they saying?
It's a pretty dark outlook, right? So the IMF saying that it expects global growth to slow even further for 2023. 2022 remain steady, but global growth to slow to about 2.7% in 2023. Also saying that it expects about a third of the globe will experience two quarters of negative GDP next year. Some would call that a recession, and that many around the world will feel like we're in a recession. So for advanced economies like the U.S., that will be some joblessness, that will be a lower wage growth, but a transitioning certainly in the economy, not just here in the U.S., but for our friends around the world too.
Recession often equals job losses, and now we have Bank of America warning the U.S. may start losing 175,000 jobs a month. Do we know when and where?
So the bank expects the when will be early next year, right? Early 2023. Where? We're not really sure yet, and we'll wait to see. But just to put this in perspective of sort of where we've been, every month since the sort of lows of the pandemic, we have added hundreds of thousands of jobs as we've, of course, come out of the pandemic. What Bank of America is saying is that's going to change, right, to the tune of about 175,000 jobs per month. Now, we have started to see on a very low level, but we have started to see some job losses and some of the white-collar professions, right, business services, which you think accounting, you think telemarketing, for example, in the last jobs report, that was lower by about 12,000 jobs. Finance, legal services, and ad services the same. So lower in terms of the scale and the amount of joblessness, but it certainly doesn't feel that way if that's your job.
Some good news for consumers now who've all been crushed under the weight of all the inflation we've been discussing. If you have money to spend, retailers have a lot of inventory, and so that means some good deals ahead of the holiday season. What are you seeing?
Absolutely. So as you said, retailers have the inventory, and of course they know that us consumers are still dealing with the pinch of inflation. So they're trying to get people in their doors a little bit sooner this year. So we are already starting to see the major retailers offer sales this month, from Target to Walmart to Amazon. So just to give you an idea of some specifics, I mean, if you're looking for a Roomba, you can get that for about $179 compared to about $350. Beats headphones, which I have about two or three. You can get a good sale on that. I should have waited for that.
I know, right?
And you can get an Apple iPad Pro for about $600. So we're expecting about a third of online merchandise to be discounted this year. That could be historic, according to some Adobe projections. So if
these are like Black Friday sales well ahead of Black Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
So just the beginning.
Well, that's a great point. So if you are looking for electronics, experts say wait until Black Friday. If you're looking for winter gear, they say wait until later in the season. But a bit of good news today, which we don't often.
We'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for help.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for nothing. Oh, man. All right, let's do something mindless here. Oh, yeah, the cha-chung sound from Law & Order apparently is a combination of a dozen different sounds all put together, including a gavel, a jail door slamming, and 500 monks walking across a hardwood floor. Huh? I'll come back to that later. First man to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. And they used to do that a lot in the 50s and the 60s. I remember that as a kid. First guy to actually successfully do it died 15 years later when he slipped on an orange peel and got an infection. That would be irony. Halle Berry was named after a department store. She was born in Cleveland, and her mom loved a department store there called Halle's. This will gross you out. The guy who invented Vaseline supposedly ate a spoonful of it every day and lived to be 96. That is petroleum. Ugh. Most go-kart places you go to have what's called a governor on the engine, which basically means you can't go any faster than a predetermined speed. So you can be flooring it, going, how come this thing's not going any faster? I'm giving it all the gas I got, and we're not going any faster. It's because it's rigged. It's set up so that you can't do that. Well, somebody in Detroit overthinking this, and it's like Jurassic Park, just because we found out we could doesn't necessarily mean that we should. Should cars have a feature that prevents you from speeding? There's a GPS-based way to do it now, and safety officials want the government to start incentivizing car companies to include it in all new cars. Somebody in the government is going to say, 75, that's it. Nobody needs to go any faster than 75. Okay, guys. And then that's it. Until somebody working out of a garage in South County says, oh, I'll fix that for you. I'll get that goddamn thing off your engine. $100. And Carolina Panthers quarterback Baker Mayfield is going to miss a few weeks with a sprained ankle. It's nice to know Baker can miss something other than his receivers. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, October 12th, 2022 is in the can. 27 days until the midterm clusterfuck. Well, watch out here. It's looking now like this rain with the showers and thunderstorms and possible severe weather. And they've specifically mentioned high winds and hail here today. This will mean nothing to you if you are listening at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Again, it's the hazards of doing a podcast, but that's where we are. It's a new frontier out there. So just watch out and get your winter clothes out, because next week you're definitely going to need them. All right, we are here every weekday morning just after 7 o'clock at jcontheline.com. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. We archive them all. We are in the top 10% of all podcasts in this country. And so continue to spread the word. We only do politics around here, but it's absolutely unavoidable. You may email me, jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day, everybody. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.